What I wanted to put in as well is that when I heard you talk before, one thing came out as very important that I haven't heard today that helped me understand how this all works. Because I would walk away from this wondering but not having asked, so where does the money come from? How is this paid for? Who's the staff? Who's doing this? And one thing that you said was that understanding that there's a municipal bond involved is somehow very important. And then we came up with this, well, how do we teach this? And then we had this idea of a man coming to the door, knock, knock, knock. Hello, my name is Bond, municipal bond. And basically, he's offering, like, basically what a municipal bond does is it's like the bridge and tunnel authority. We all pay a toll. That toll goes to a business. It's not an independent business, really, and it's not a government. It's a bonded agency, a tunnel authority, that is a kind of an in-between business and government authority that we all created by basically borrowing money together from the banks, and the banks will loan money for that because they know it'll get paid back, because it's going to be paid, and it's going to be paid out of our utility bills without them going up. So that municipal bond paying for it to create this transition is somehow a really important part to understand. So those are the basic things that I do understand. And I wondered if I've misspoken, give the mic back to you, and if there's a critical missing piece for us to understand here that I didn't really.
No, you nailed it. The bond, I didn't really get into it, but yeah, the bond is an important part of this. It's not totally necessary, but because a lot of jurisdictions are not comfortable with issuing revenue bonds or feel that they don't have political support for revenue bonds. And so it's political in some part to issue bonds, and it's a policy discussion that has to take place for the bonds to be approved. But it was something that I developed in 2001 after watching the early CCAs kind of perform in a disappointing way. I mean, they saved money, they bought green power, but they didn't change anything. You know, they didn't change the relationship to the grid. They just remained consumers, and they were a little bit better than the utilities, but each year they'd have to renew their contract for each 2 years. And the market would go up and down, and sometimes they look good, sometimes they look bad. But they were simply consumers. And so I developed a bond authority in San Francisco, and it actually went up, had to go up for a vote in that city. Most cities, you don't need a vote to issue bonds, you just need the revenue. You pass an ordinance, which basically authorizes the issuance of bonds based on that revenue. And then you have to sell the bonds, which is the challenging part. By bond buyers who see your revenue, see the degree of security you have in your revenue stream, and then decide what is the credit rating and what is your interest rate, and that will affect ultimately the cost of capital and the cost of the systems and the cost of the power. So this all has to get baked into one financial model, which is what I do for these cities, but it enables you to see in an apple-to-apple way. How a built infrastructure compares in terms of cost of power every month for 10 years to the forecasted price of grid power based on fuel cost. And that comparison is what enables the city government to make the decision, all right, we're going to go with the built environment instead of the fuel, the liquid environment. And so then it's just a matter of the payback period and structuring the agreement, and structuring the contracts with customers so you have an adequate security, also structuring the products you offer so that they have an adequate security. And that includes things like offering ownership to poor people. This is something which is not done in the energy industry. Poor people are redlined. Poor people are simply don't exist to the energy industry. They're a nuisance. The very fact that we're required to be served is a nuisance, and they wish they could just turn them off entirely. The idea that you would actually finance something for poor people is basically unthinkable. But we've really focused in on just how you could do that, and it really comes down to somebody who doesn't have a credit card, and somebody who could barely make their rent payments, how could you, because they still pay their utility bill, and that's the first thing they pay. And so there is security in that, and that's this little piece of equity that if you could turn that into an investment, then they get to build up equity. And, you know, it's a pretty serious opportunity, actually. But you've got to design the right product so there isn't too much exposure to their inability to pay. Because if you just say, well, we're going to put solar panels on poor people's rooftops, well, you know, then there's non-payment risk, repossession risk, all these things, and you're going to find no one will buy that bond and no one will install that system. But if you could, you know, do solar shares, take it off site, put it on a controlled location, they can buy shares, that's fine. If you do energy efficiency and residential housing, poor people, make it a short payback. You know, put in things that pay back fairly quickly so there's not too much exposure. If a city government has also water bills, make other platforms for billing that enables you to enforce payment, you can use that. I mean, there are different ways that you can make it feasible to use those bonds to extend financing into the private sector and use a financing vehicle that traditionally was for publicly owned infrastructure, but across many sectors has become something commonly used for the private sector. One example, and this is how I thought of it, in 2000 was I was in a building in downtown Oakland that, and I knew the owner of the building, he used to talk about it a lot, and he got tax-exempt financing to improve the facade of his building from the city of Oakland. That is how I thought of it. I said, well, how did you do that? You know? He said, well, they issued bonds to improve the downtown business district, and they will offer basically free money to fix the facade of your building, and building owners get this kind of financing. I said, well, what's the difference between that and a solar panel? You know, there's a public benefit to the solar panel, which is climate change, energy resilience, lots of public benefits, and that's the IRS test for a tax-exempt bond, apart from the ownership structure. And so you have to pass this sort of test to determine the tax status of the bond. But it's fine. If you get a designation that it's a private use, then it's taxable. So you'll have taxable components, non-taxable components. You can merge and mix the taxable and the non-taxable components. You could have a photovoltaic array that's half municipally owned, and the other half is owned by 500 people in shares, right? So the share half is taxable, the non-share, the municipal half is tax exempt. And so basically you can open up this, the use of financing by the city to benefit residents, and not just homeowners, but renters and businesses, not just mall owners and real estate companies, but small businesses. And that's a big part of the opportunity, is to turn that electric bill payment into equity for the customer, and not just this constant hemorrhage of wealth.